of course you can. Eventually. But not today.
Why? What the fuck do you have to hide from us?
Buford glanced around, checking that there were half a dozen Sekhmen within easy call.
You must not be so contrary. It will benefit you nothing. Today we'll have a look around the outline of our project, give you an idea of what we do. Then, perhaps tomorrow, Professor Crichton will wish to talk to you. Especially with you, Miss Roth.
Me?
It's obvious already that you are not the common run-of-the-mill outsiders who have stumbled into our lands in the past. We believe, unfortunately, you have not told us the truth about where you come from and who you are. Or perhaps you have been utilizing some terminological inexactitudes. We think you might have skills we do not yet understand. Oh, but we will. Obviously, Miss Roth's supernatural skills have attracted our interest, and we would like the opportunity to carry out some tests. No harm will come either to her or to any of you. I promise you that.
That's fair. You don't get to live long in the Deathlands if you go around blabbing off to everyone about who you are and what you've done. Maybe we don't come from a little fishing village. But that falls under the heading of being our business, the way we see it.
You admit to being liars?
Yeah. I'll put my hands up to that charge, Whitecoat.
Buford pulled out his notebook and quickly wrote several lines in it. Ryan glanced sideways but couldn't read the crabbed, angular hand. Buford put the book away in a pocket and smiled brightly.
Very well. The tour begins here.
It didn't take long to check out the atrium, which the short, balding man explained had once been filled with a variety of rare and exotic plants. But they had all died. Sleeping and eating quarters opened immediately off it, with the security section on the second floor. Buford also took them into the other story of their own wing. The rooms were mainly filled with laboratories of differing sizes, manned by the men and women who'd shared their supper the previous night. But there was nothing to give an obvious clue as to what work they were doing there. One of the things that Ryan noticed immediately was the almost total absence of anyone under the age of 30 in the whole of the Institute. Doc walked briskly alongside the diminutive scientist. Buford turned to him.
Elegant sword.
Thank you kindly.
It looks a true antique, that beautiful animal's head in silver.
Toledo steel blade within the ebony case, and it supports me in my frail old age.
Oh, I sometimes use a stick myself, as you probably noticed when we were outside. Rough ground is a hardship to me with my knees and hip joints.
Why can't you carry out replacement operations? A place like this must have been geared up for prosthetic installations.
Prosthetic? You use a word like that. A woman shouldn't have knowledge from pre-dark times on such medical matters. May Hippocrates himself preserve us, but I think that you are all muties.
Like Ryan told your chief, we don't always tell everyone everything about ourselves. But I give you my word that I don't suffer from any kind of genetic mutation.
Genetics? You've heard of the word? How?
I saw it on the sign outside coming in.
Gene sculpturing is what it said. It doesn't mention the word genetics at all.
Buford's eyes protruded behind the magnifying lenses of his polished spectacles.
Mystery on mystery.
Ossa piled upon mighty pelion, as you might say.
You speak gibberish, total rubbish. It makes no sense at all to me. What is Ossa and who is Pelion? I am considered one of the brightest and best of the workers here, but I have never heard of such talk.
In the world of the famous myths of ancient Greece, in Europe, the Titans wished to attack the mighty gods in their heavenly home. In their stupidity, they piled the mountain called Ossa upon the one called Pelion, and then both upon Mount Olympus. And still they failed. Because the gods will always remain untouchable, just beyond our reach.
You made that story up, Doc. Good one, though.
This is madness. Ragged outlanders filled with knowledge that not even the best minds here know about.
Buford turned to Ryan.
You!
What is it?
The one-eyed man from the country of the blind. You see, I too, yes, I too have wisdom. You are some sort of shaman. You are bewitching us all with your magic.
We have knowledge. We all have different skills. Doesn't make us muties.
Buford pointed at Jack.
What about him? He is a pure albino. We know about that from our research. There is a team already working on pigmentation problems. We know what causes it, but none of us have ever seen such a person before. He too could help us with our work.
Jack took a single long step so that his face was close to the scientist's, almost at the same level. The red eyes reflected in the glasses like tiny fire rubies. He lifted a long white finger and touched it to Buford's lips.
Shh!
Jack took a single long step away again.
Whitecoat will likely have to go back to his room and change his pants after that.
Mildred touched Buford on the arm again.
Oh! Sorry, I forgot you said you don't like being touched.
No, we have what we call a PHZ.
A personal hostility zone. Common psychobabble back in the 1960s. I understand. You didn't answer my question.
What? What was it? So many rivers have been crossed in the last minute or so that I can't...
This was a huge hospital and research institute, massively financed. I realize the times have changed and the wheels have turned, but you still call yourselves professors and wear white coats and have labs and all that. So how come you can't perform a simple operation, like replacing a diseased knee or hip joint?
After the nuke cost, there was a dark period here, as in the rest of the world. Though we were miraculously sheltered and a significant proportion of us survived, many clinical skills were lost at this time. We can look in a part of the main research wing now, if you wish.
Hold on just a moment. When you said that many of the clinical skills were lost, what sort of range of operations can you carry out now? I've seen the operating theaters, and they look ready to rumba.
Ready to...
Never mind, Buford. Can you carry out, say, a mastectomy here?
No, not quite.
What? You can cut off the nipple, but not the rest? What does that mean, man? Appendectomy? No. Tonsillectomy? You can't even take out someone's tonsils anymore, can you?
It would be difficult.
You've lost all of the basic medical skills, Buford?
Not precisely lost, Cawdor. More that they have been mislaid.
Mildred closed her eyes for a moment, struggling for self-control in the face of this staggering confession.
Can you explain what mislaid means?
There were records of all sorts. Vids and machines to play them on, demos of every operation ever known, taken step by step. Books and micros and discs. It was one of the finest medical libraries in the whole world.
And?
An electrical fault. Fire. All gone.
When?
I can't say precisely. About 30 years ago. Maybe near to 50. Nobody who's alive here now remembers it. Except for the great Professor Crichton himself.
So all you do here now is what you call your research? Is that right?
Yes.
No surgical or medical skills left at all. Not a single one?
Well, not quite. Last year, after some experiments, we rediscovered how to pull out a diseased tooth.
Enough chit-chat. Show us the rest of this place or we're out of here.
You're not serious.
Trader's Armalite appeared in his hand.
I'm serious as a heart attack.
All right, fine. Take them back to the atrium. I may be a while. This is most irregular.
A half hour later, Buford had still not returned. Christy, after a request from Ryan, was provided with a chair.
You sure you're all right, lover?
Christy squeezed Ryan's hand.
Sure. Nearly back to normal again. But this hanging around is getting on my nerves. How long's it been?
It's been 28 minutes since Buford went tottering off like a gaudy slut in a tantrum.
Here he comes, Dad.
Buford had taken up his stick again. His face was even paler than usual, and he was perspiring profusely.
Well, do we get to see the rest of this place, or do we all simply pack our bags and blasters and leave?
The professor didn't take it at all well, being threatened like that. His first reaction was to order the Sekhmen to take remedial action against you.
That's a serious delusion, mister.
Buford tried an ingratiating smile with the grizzled man, ignoring the fact that the muzzle of the Armalite happened to be pointing at his groin.
Professor Crichton, in his wisdom and mercy, made it clear he had no wish to have 9 innocent lives laid on his conscience.
You pathetic little asshole. Move a finger and you'll drown in the blood we spill.
Hold up, traitor. You can see we've already won the argument. No need to carry on rubbing his nose in it.
Thank you, Cawdor. I put to Professor Crichton that Miss Roth would assist us in our research, subject to